The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to the Max Kellerman Show here, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Michael leads in for Max once again here on a Friday. And before we get to what we have on the show today, I want to wish everyone a very special day tomorrow. It's National Tequila Day. It is very close to my heart. And for all of those of you who will be celebrating, cheers to you. Coming up on today's show, we got a lot to get into for a Friday because it feels as if in the wake of some of the COVID things we heard yesterday that things just start trickling out all of a sudden. And we're going into the weekend with a lot of things happening that are not necessarily what we expect on a Friday. Brad Turner from the LA Times is going to join us, talk about some situations with the Lakers and two guys who may want to join the Lakers next season for a shot at a championship for their first. We'll tell you who those people are. Jordan Schultz is going to join us. He's going to talk about not only about the Lakers situation and things going into the draft, but also what's happening with COVID, things of that nature, some player responses, and also news from Minnesota that Courtney Cronin just posted to ESPN.com. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we need to start right now with the Packers situation. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What we are seeing right now in Green Bay, if you haven't been paying attention, is the fact that there are issues with that front office that are about to be exposed. You already know the situation with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's a fan favorite there. He's an MVP. He won a Super Bowl. He's set to be one of the highest paid players. But he's not trying to be there right now. Now Davante Adams, the number one receiver in Green Bay, he's been selected to the last four Pro Bowls. He, according to sources telling ESPN, not expected to reach an agreement on a contract extension at this time. He's 28 years old. He's scheduled to be paid a base salary of $12.25 million, make an additional $500,000 in roster bonuses in 2021. Now, this is the final year of a four-year, $58 million extension that he signed 4 years ago, okay? But with an average salary of $14.5 million, he slipped to number 18 on the receiver pay scale. Clearly, Davante Adams is better than the 18th ranked wide receiver in the NFL, and he wants to be compensated as such. But there's also the uncertainty with Aaron Rodgers that is impacting Davante Adams there in Green Bay. I mean, even back in May, he said that Rodgers' situation could potentially impact his future with the Packers. It's the only quarterback he's really had, right? Go back to 2017 when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. But the only guy that Davante Adams really had has been Aaron Rodgers. They clearly have chemistry. They have a connection both on and off the field. They are dudes. And if Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there and the Packers aren't going to pay Davante Adams what he feels as if he's worth and what his production suggests he is worth, he may not want to be there either. So the question becomes for Mark Murphy, president of the Packers, and their GM, Brian Gutekunst, what's going on? What is going on in terms of the relationship between the front office in Green Bay and their best players? I don't care what type of organization you have, whether it's a sports organization, whether it's a Fortune 500 company, or your local church. There are certain relationships that are vital to the success of that organization. And if those in charge do not monitor and maintain those relationships to a certain level, the likelihood of success goes down. That's obvious. So if you're a professional football team and one that wants to challenge for a Super Bowl title, one thing you have to do is maintain a good relationship with your best player and especially your quarterback, who in this situation clearly is the same person that is Aaron Rodgers. We've been talking about this for the last several months. It doesn't seem as if there's any type of resolution coming anytime soon. The Packers have maintained that they are not trading Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has maintained it's not about money for him. He's given us no indication that he's going to be ready for training camp, or at least in terms of showing up for training camp. And now, in the wake of all of that uncertainty, your number one wide receiver breaks off talks with a contract extension. Now you don't know if he's going to show up for training camp. So what is going on in Green Bay? Now, the thing about the Packers organization, right? They have been a darling in this league for a long time. Everyone loves Green Bay, the small city north of Milwaukee. You've got Lambeau Field and all his history and Vince Lombardi, and the team is actually owned by the fans and all of that stuff. Like, they are a darling in the league. They're almost like the Cubs of the NFL, but they just won more often, right? But everyone loves the Packers, even if you hate them in some regard. Like, you love how they put their team together, their organization, what they stand for, things of that nature. They are the darlings of the NFL. But they got some family issues, right? If Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst can't maintain a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, what does that say about the front office in Green Bay? Have we been missing something from this organization in the last couple of years that would lead to this happening to begin with? Right? Now, you can say whatever you want about Aaron Rodgers, how you feel about him personally, what people have said about him publicly, including members of his own family. But for the most part, Aaron Rodgers has been the same dude the entire time he's been in the league, right? He pretty much gives a clear indication of who he is and who he's not. So if we have that understanding, why have the Packers not been able to maintain a better relationship with their quarterback to the point that they don't know if he's going to show up for training camp? They have a team that is capable of reaching the Super Bowl, but that's only if Aaron Rodgers is there. But now they don't know about Devontae Adams. And he says his future in Green Bay could potentially be impacted by the Aaron Rodgers situation. So what's going on in Green Bay? Have we as the media, have we as the fans, not seeing something that we would see from other organizations, right? We talk about the turmoil and the controversy and the mismanagement of so many professional sports teams throughout the year, and especially in the NFL. We talk about how things are in Washington. We talk about whether Jerry Jones and his son are doing a good job with the player personnel decisions they make in Dallas. We look at other teams around the league and ask those same questions with the Giants, with all, I'm only naming teams in the NFC East for some reason, but that's not intentional. Let's go down to Houston. What's up with the Texans in so many regards as it relates to player personnel? But we really haven't had those conversations about the Packers. Why? What have we been missing as the media and the fans? I feel as if whatever has been developing there, that we now see some things about to be exposed. Now, whether Aaron Rodgers exposes them publicly himself in any conversations he has about not returning to Green Bay or not being there for the start of training camp, or if Devontae Adams ends up doing it, or if there's just some deep dive into the organization that comes out like, yo, you know what? The front office has been doing this. Guys have been upset about it for a while, and now it's just playing out. What is going on in Green Bay? That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Again, Jordan Schultz and Brad Turner coming up a little bit later. Let's talk about, real quickly, what's going on with the Lakers. Okay, I'm making a quick change to the NBA because Brad Turner is going to be joining us shortly here. And we talked a lot yesterday on the Max Kellerman Show about which point guards the Lakers will likely target and who would actually be the best fit for what they have on their roster right now, which is namely LeBron and AD, right? That's what we were asking yesterday. Brad Turner, I saw earlier on Twitter, says that Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are interested in joining the Lakers this offseason. So you start thinking about what the Lakers need and what's the right fit. And if they get rid of Kyle Kuzma because he and Dennis Schroeder were having issues, maybe get rid of both of those dudes. Would Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan be exactly what the Lakers need. I'm like, yo, I didn't even think about those two dudes. But also, we mentioned the fact that Russell Westbrook would be returning to Los Angeles to try to win a championship for the first time. Well, guess where DeMar DeRozan came from? Los Angeles. Compton's in the house. So that would be a great story for DeRozan as well, to return to Los Angeles and win a championship. Because he missed that opportunity in Toronto when he was traded and Kawhi Leonard came in. And what do? The Raptors win a championship. So Lowry has a title on his resume. So if you're the Lakers, you want to bring in a point guard who can set up the play, who doesn't always have to be on the ball, and he has championship experience. Is that the best move for the Lakers? Let's go to the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Brad Turner from the LA Times joins me now. BT, what's up, man? How you doing, brother? It's been a long time.
Man, Eve, how are you, man? I see you on TV wearing them sharp $1,000 suits. I keep thinking, I know that guy. That's my friend.
Yo, I got to buy expensive suits so I look thinner on TV, bro. That's what that New England life has done to me, man.
I understand, but you look good.
Hey, man, I appreciate you joining me, too. What's up with this idea of Lowry and DeRozan going to the Lakers? Like, the more I think about it, BT, I think it makes a lot of sense.
You know, it does, and I probably should have made a little bit more clarity on the story. I think they can only get one of them.
Okay.
Unless you get some signing trades involved, and then one guy's willing to take a lot less money. Now, DeMar has said he's willing to take less money. Does less money mean $9 million that the Lakers will have with their little bit exception? Or does it mean instead of 27, he wants 20? Well, what actually is less? But he does want to return back to L.A. And if it came down between one or the other, Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan, which one did you pick?
Right, and that is a good question for the Lakers, but it also would depend, BT, on who stays on the squad, right? Because there's been all these rumors about Kuzma potentially leaving, things of that nature. And so, again, it's going to be like, what holes are there that the Lakers need filled, or which players are they willing to move to bring in those particular players, or someone else for that regard, right?
Man, Mike, the Lakers have 6 players on the contract right now. They got to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
They have to fill a lot of spots, which would be point guard, shooting guard perhaps. It would even be the center position. And then you need to fill out your bench. So, but you start with trying to get probably someone, your point guard. Is it going to be Dennis Schroeder coming back? Everything points to that not being the case. But can you work with Dennis and his people to perhaps do a sign and trade? If you can do that, then that helps you perhaps get Kyle Lowry or maybe get DeMar DeRozan, and then you have a little money left to maybe get 2 of those guys. But Rob Pelinka, good luck, man. Do your job. Figure it out.
Brad Turner from the LA Times joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Leaves in for Max with you here on a Friday. Well, I mean, let's play best case scenario here, BT. Like, what do the Lakers really need? Is it a Lowry DeRozan combo? Is it Dame Lillard? Is it Russ Westbrook? Is it CP3? Or is it someone we're not even talking about?
Oh, man. What do they really need? Woo. Out of all those choices, I would say if they can get their hands on Damian Lillard,
yeah,
then they would do it. He's younger than CP3 is. I think he fits the Lakers better than the other guys because of his demeanor, he is an alpha guy, but he's not the loud guy, and because he can shoot the ball so damn well.
Right.
And but to get him, man, that was like $44 million he's got coming in with his next contract. That just seems to be impossible. I think I have a better chance of going to the moon with one of these space shuttles going out there. The Lakers do of getting me.
You know, and that was the point I was making yesterday when we were having the conversation about the first 3 guys I mentioned, Dame, CP3, and Russ, right? If you look at those 3, there's 2 questions here. Who's the better fit, but which one is more likely to join your squad? If you look at better fit, My question would be for Rob Pelinka and the organization, based on the personnel you have, LeBron is a ball-heavy forward. He's literally the point forward. He's not a Magic Johnson point guard, but he's pretty damn close, right? And so if you're going to bring another point guard who dominates the ball, how does that impact what LeBron does from a positive impact on your squad, where you have someone maybe like Dame Lillard, who is who's the best shooter of the three and maybe can play off the ball more than Chris or Russ could, but he may be the hardest one to get of the three?
Yes. I would say if you got a point guard, one of those three, that it helps LeBron James because now he doesn't have to dominate the ball as much. And he is 36 years old, and he can be more creative having the ball in a half-court setting without having to run the offense through him, without having to beat the ball up court all the time. If he gets the ball into his spots, now he has more room to operate because he's got Dame there. Now he has a chance to be, you know, he can rest a little bit.
Right.
So I think that helps him more than it hinders him. And he has to be willing, obviously, to give the ball up.
That's my point, though.
To run the offense, knowing that the first pass comes to him.
See, BT,
and then
that
he
was my
point. What they do from that point on.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can make a strong case why it would benefit LeBron at this stage of his career to have that other ball dominant player, but would he be comfortable doing it? Because he's done it for so long, and that's how he plays, and that's how he impacts the game. And that's not a knock on him. I mean, clearly it's worked out for him. You count the MVPs, you count the championships, but would he be willing to do it? Would he think, maybe the better question is, would he think doing that give his team the best chance to win?
LeBron is a smart man.
That
and
is true.
LeBron James wants to win another NBA championship with the Lakers. I think he will figure that out, and I think he'll be willing to put that part of his ego aside for the betterment of the team and for the group.
And if he does that, and you're able to get one of those guys we mentioned, that completely changes the landscape of what the West will look like going into the season, even on the heels of what we saw what Chris Paul did there in the Valley with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. It was a tremendous run by Chris. I wonder, BT, because you know I haven't lived in L.A. for a while now, the Laker fans were so mad the first time they had a chance to get to Chris Paul and David Stern blocked that trade. How badly would they want him now, considering all the trash they talked about him when he played for the Clippers?
You know, I would say, based on what I'm hearing, there's not the clamor to get him now at 36 years old. I mean, if they can get him for a nice price, the Laker fans are fine with it, but they're not going, we have to go out and get Chris Paul. That's not what I'm hearing from the fans that I talk to, that I hear on radio shows. Not at this stage of his career. They just think, and they know that these two guys are friends, Bonin and Chris.
Yeah.
Do friends really work together? Can he really get, and they're both ball-dominant guys.
Exactly.
They both talk a lot. So Laker fans are not saying, yeah, like it was when we tried to pair him with Kobe Bryant. They're not. It's not that way this time around.
I will say this. Maybe because they're such close friends, it would be easier for them to acquiesce to the other in certain situations than it was for Chris Paul and James Harden to do it in Houston, because those were two ball-dominant dudes, and that clearly did not work out. Now, Chris, for his sake, if he decides to opt out in Phoenix or somehow gets to L.A., he will have that experience. But, yo, it's much easier for me to acquiesce to a dude that I like, love, and respect than a dude that we ain't that tight. You know what I mean?
But, again, for him to get to L.A. to the Lakers – man, I'll say this one more time.
Yeah.
I think I have a better chance of going to the moon.
Hey, you know what?
At least going to outer space.
Hey, I do know you have a great chance of going to Paris this summer, so enjoy your annual trek to France, as you like to do, to recharge for the upcoming NBA season. Like, you might as well just get dual citizenship at this point, BT.
Hey, man, great chance. That ticket's been booked. I'll be there on August the 12th. What are you talking
about?
See
what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
Brad Turner, he is Mr. Paris as it relates to anything and all things NBA. Hey, BT, good to talk to you, brother. Have a good summer, man.
Mike, thanks you, man. And keep looking sharp on TV, brother. Keep doing that.
My man, Brad Turner from the LA Times, joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Max Kellerman Show. Michael Leaves in for Max today on a Friday. So, Laker fans, What do you want? I know you want a championship. We all know that. You want one every single year. You think you're always going to be the best team. But in terms of personnel, what do you want? Who do you want? Do you want just Dame, just CP3, just Russ? Or do you want the combination of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan? Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. We'll be talking about this throughout the show, taking your phone calls as well. But there's some other things we got to get into today. Like, there's some things that are happening in the NFL as it relates to COVID right now. But also, oh, did you hear about Dabo Swinney still talking about the professionalization, as he calls it, of college sports? Why is he against it, though, considering how much money he makes? That's coming up later here on the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Lee's in for Max today. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's a demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S., and My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Where is the Big 12 without its two bell cows?
Could you imagine the shifting from conference to conference?
And I think this thing is pretty far down the track. We thought June was the wildest month in recent college sports history with NIL. Get ready. This is going to be crazier.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Michael Lee's with you here on a Friday. Laker fans, you good with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan coming to L.A.? Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Brad Turner joined me on the Get Your Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead, good year, more driven, to talk about that very thing. But I want to hear from Laker fans. Here on the Max Kellerman Show, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, this week, you've had a lot of college football coaches in the news because you've had media days from the SEC, from the Pac-12, from the ACC, and of course in the ACC, that is dominated by Clemson and head coach Dabo Swinney. Now, Dabo says a lot of things publicly that get picked up for obvious reasons because of the success that he's had at Clemson, but also it's some of the things he says as it relates to college football as a whole. And one of the things that really got a lot of attention, maybe even a couple years ago, the first time he said it, he said that he's not for the professionalization, as he calls it, of college sports. He says if that keeps happening, he may go to the NFL. Okay. Now, my thing is, college sports has been professionalized for a long time, except the only professionals not getting paid their worth are athletes. At this year's ACC Media Days, people were talking to him about the new name, image, and likeness rule in college football. And he said, those are two different issues in terms of guys being able to go out and make money on their name, image, and likeness, as opposed to the colleges themselves giving these players money outside of their scholarship. Now, my point has been for a long time as it relates to big-time college sports, especially the revenue-producing sports like college football, men's basketball, and to a degree, women's basketball. If these coaches are being paid like professional coaches, why can't the players be paid like professional players? So for Dabo Swinney's standpoint, what is he afraid of? Why is he afraid of his sport paying their players the way he is paid? Dabo Swinney makes $8.3 million a year as the head coach of Clemson. Okay. If you compare that to other NFL coaches, two NFL coaches, he would be the eighth highest paid coach in the NFL at $8.3 million. He would make more than Mike Tomlin, who's won a Super Bowl. He would make more than Andy Reid, who's won a Super Bowl. More than Bruce Arians, who's won a Super Bowl. More than Mike McCarthy, who's won a Super Bowl. He is already a professional coach. So why can't his athletes, who generate enough revenue for him to be paid that much money, be paid as if they are professional athletes? Why is it good for certain people and not the others? That's always been the case with big-time college athletics. Once the TV deals hit several years ago, these dudes have been professional athletes whether they are treated like them or not. And just now, it had to take threats of lawsuits and acts of Congress in order for these guys and women in college athletics now to be able to market themselves and use their own name, image, and likeness to make money, while the schools have been doing it for decades. But Dabo Swinney is still against the professionalization of sports, even though he's paid more than half the NFL coaches. $8.3 million. He would be the eighth highest coach in the NFL if that salary was translated to the NFL. But he doesn't want his players to get money as if they're professional athletes. So you have this conversation now about Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC. And why are they doing that? For money. Who gets that money? Everybody but the players. So if these teams and conferences are operating like professional teams and professional sports leagues, why is it the players are the only ones who are not able to be compensated as if they are professionals? Why have we as a society been so accepting of that? Now, if you want to get deep into it, there's a lot of reasons why that's the case. You can get into economics in terms of capitalism in this country. You could get into cultural issues in this country as it relates to who controls labor. There's so many reasons that this thing is so deep-rooted in American society. But my question is, as we continue to evolve as a society, why are we still cool with it? Why are we always trying to limit what certain people can make while not being concerned about all the money that the coaches make? If Dabo Swinney can be paid as if he is an NFL coach at more than $8 million a year, why can't the players be paid as if they are professional athletes, but since they generate the revenue that enables him to make that much money? I don't care how much Dabo makes. If he makes $10 million, good for him. If he's good enough to get a job that pays him that, good for him. But how are the players not able to be compensated in a fair market situation the way he is? Hell, his offensive coordinator makes more than $2.5 million a year. Strength and conditioning coaches at some of these top-level programs are approaching seven figures. But to give the players something like $20,000 or $50,000 is an affront on all things sports? Get out of here with that. I just don't understand the mentality and why we're still having this conversation. And for Dabo Swinney's standpoint, what NFL team would pay him more than $8 million? Is there one? If it is, then go for it, bro. Good for you. I just don't understand that. I keep talking about Dabo because he's the one who said this publicly. He's not the only college coach who feels that way. So this is not all on him, but because of the team he coaches and the success he has, he's going to be the target of this when he speaks on it publicly. I just don't understand the mentality. What is he afraid of? What is he so concerned by that he doesn't want these guys to get compensated in the same fashion he does? Now, I'm not saying when Trevor Lawrence was there, he would have made $8 million, but if enough revenue is produced that Dabo Swinney can make $8 million, how can these players at these star conferences and these star teams not be compensated as well outside of their scholarship? And if you think the value of a scholarship is the same as a salary, you are sadly mistaken. Ask anyone who's gone to a major college or university the last 10, 15 years, as the economy's gone up and down, the value of that degree versus what they were able to make when they first went into the market, then you haven't been paying attention. So don't talk to me about the value of a scholarship. What are these guys and what are these ladies generating in terms of revenue that allows these coaches to be paid this, where the players themselves can't be compensated in the same fashion? It's already been professionalized. It has been for a long time. And the idea of just giving these guys money and what they're worth is somehow an affront to sports in general. Come on, man. We're beyond that. And just acting like this whole amateurism thing is all about, you might as well be spitting into the wind. We're beyond it. Dabo Swinney makes $8.3 million a year. There are 24 coaches in the NFL who don't make that. and he's worried about the professionalization of college sports. He's a professional coach, but he doesn't want his players to be professional athletes, even though they generate the money, the revenue that allows him to make $8 million. Just think about that for a second. Think about the audacity of that. That's what he's concerned about. I don't get it. I'll never get it. And that's cool. But what's he afraid of? Get in the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up here on the Max Kellerman Show. The NFL put out their memo about the new COVID guidelines as it relates to vaccinated versus unvaccinated players and staff. Not all the players are on board. Plus, a coach has left the team because of it. And we're taking your phone calls. That's all coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
He's back here with you, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can join the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. You can also hit me on Twitter at Michael Eaves, as some of you have done, and I'll get to some of those tweets in a moment. But make sure you tune into an interleague battle Sunday as the Brewers host the White Sox, presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN. Last segment, I was talking about Dabo Swinney and the idea that he doesn't like the professionalization of sports, even though he's making a professional football coach's salary that would rank eighth highest in the NFL if he was to translate that $8.3 million salary to the NFL. But he doesn't want his players being compensated in the same fashion that his coaches are compensated, including his offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Let's go to the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN. John in Colorado, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I was. You answered my question before I got online, but I'm just curious. What does the entire coaching staff of the University of Clemson make? $2.3 million offensive, defensive coordinators. What about their strength coach? What about all the other stuff? What about the student athletes that are in their training staff that volunteer their time? Should they not be compensated as well? It's amazing that we don't look at the entire picture. I bet you their coaching staff is probably $15 million plus, yet they don't want to make their players any money.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, John. I appreciate the phone call. So we mentioned Dabo Swinney makes $8.3 million. And again, good for him. God bless. No one's mad at the money he's making. I don't like the idea of someone making a lot of money and then trying to limit the income of other people. That's what I don't like, especially in a society built on capitalism, okay? But Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator for Clemson, he makes $2 million. Brent Venables, defensive coordinator, he makes $2 million. So between the three of those dudes, that is more than $12 million, $12.5 million between your head coach, your offensive and defensive coordinator. Those three dudes make $12 million total, but the players can't be paid. If you go back to the NFL head coaching salaries, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator at Clemson make almost as much as Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, and he's been to a Super Bowl. He makes $3 million this year. But you're worried about the professionalization of sports. Come on. Stop with that. We'll take more of your phone calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. But before we get to the top of the hour, I do want to touch quickly on this, and we'll talk about it more coming up in the second hour of the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. Courtney Cronin on ESPN.com right now has a story out of Minnesota that Rick Dennison, Vikings assistant coach, offensive line coach, and he's the run game coordinator, he's no longer with the team. He had served in that role the last two seasons. He's the first NFL position coach to part ways with his team after choosing not to receive a vaccine against COVID-19. The vaccine is required for all Tier 1 staff, including coaches, front office execs, equipment managers, and scouts. Players are not required to receive the COVID vaccine, but will face, as we talked about yesterday and earlier today, they're going to face really strict protocols during training camp and throughout the season that vaccinated players will be able to forego. And if there is a forfeit of a game due to unvaccinated players contracting COVID that leads to an outbreak, they're going to lose game checks. But the coaches, staff, everyone else, they are required to get it by the NFL and these teams. But Rick Dennison has chosen not to get it, so thus he can't coach for the Vikings this year. As we said yesterday, and as we continue to say about this whole argument over vaccines and the link that, or excuse me, the impact it's having on professional sports, you have a choice. You do not have to play, and clearly in Rick Dennison's position, you do not have to coach, but your choices do have consequences. And for Rick Dennison, it's not getting a salary this year as an assistant coach of the Vikings. And for some of the players who may opt out, they won't get their salary the same way players opted out last year, didn't get paid. And if these players choose not to get a vaccine this year, they will have to face different protocols than the vaccinated players on their squad. And if it costs the league and the team money, these dudes are going to lose that money and their salaries. So again, you have a choice, but those choices can have consequences. And for Rick Dennison, in his mind, he's fine with not coaching because he doesn't want to get the vaccine. That's a choice. No matter where you fall on the argument against vaccines or not getting vaccines, there is a choice there. And that choice for Rick Dennison is a consequence of losing his salary as an assistant coach in the NFL this year. But that's his choice. He could say, all right, let me get the vaccine. I want to coach this year. Or you know what? I'm not comfortable getting the vaccine, and my discomfort is to the level that I'm willing to forego my salary for the upcoming season. But here's what I predict. You're going to see more of this happening. You're going to see more coaches refusing to get the vaccine, and that's a choice and a consequence. But how will it start to impact these squads as we go forward? Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, we're going to have more on this conversation as well. And also, Laker fans, I want to hear from you. It's a Friday. Michael Leaves, ESPN Radio.